Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we are observing what happens next when you go into low Earth orbit. Money changes hands. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, celebrating commercial space, monetizing space, monetizing space flight is the way forward. Capitalism works. It does not work when you don't have competition. And this is about competition. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is New Shepard and what is the contest?
Good evening, John. New Shepard is the suborbital spacecraft that Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, has been developing, depending on who you talk to, as long as 20 years. They started back in the early aughts, but they only became really public around 6-7 years ago. And in the last 5-6 years, they've been doing test flights. Well, a few weeks ago, they announced that they're going to do the first commercial flight with passengers on July 20th, the anniversary of the landing on the moon by Apollo 11. And they announced that rather than sell tickets initially for that flight, they're going to have an auction for the first seat. And they've started that auction out. The first phase was sealed bids. No one knew what anyone was bidding. And earlier this week, they started the second phase, which is live bidding online, and revealed the high bid during the sealed bidding time. The high bid during sealed bids was $1.4 million. Now, that's a lot of money, considering that for the last two decades, when Virgin Galactic first said it was going to do this and hasn't yet, they were going to charge about $250,000, $250,000. I've seen other numbers ranging from 200,000 to 300,000, but always in that multi-hundred-thousand-round-dollar range. And so someone was willing to pay $1.4 million for a seat on this short, no more than 10-minute long suborbital flight. Well, now the live bidding's been going on, John, and so far the price has doubled to $2.8 million. Someone is willing to bid $2.8 million so far. Now, that bidding's going to continue online until June 12th, when they're going to do a live final auction. So who knows how much the price will go. Obviously, people are willing to pay more for this flight for the bragging rights of being the first. I will say that this does indicate maybe the demand for such orbital flights is higher than had been thought, which also means the demand for the orbital flights will be higher than what people thought, which, as you say, monetizing space means there's a lot of money that's going to be made from tourism.
Let's have some fun, Bob. Let's guess over under. The first ticket to Mars, over under.
What the price for the first ticket to Mars would be. I can't even give you a price right now because, it depends on how much SpaceX will be charging for Starship. They say if everything goes the way they want and it's reusable, a launch of 100 tons would only cost $2 million, which is tiny compared to the $60 million they charge for a Falcon 9. $2 million to get 100 tons up, you might be able to do that flight for $20 million, which is what they charge now for orbital flights. So we'll have to wait and see. There's too much going to be going on here before you get to that flight to predict what the prices are going to be. This is exciting news. And, of course, you've mentioned competition. Blue Origin's beating out its one competitor, Virgin Galactic, who had the large head start and has gone nowhere.
And space travel is hot. Discovery Channel, what have they done, Bob?
Well, Discovery Channel has announced, this is in conjunction in a sense, but it's orbital, they've announced that they're planning a contest where the winner, and it's going to be like one of those television shows, real documentary television shows, where contestants are going to compete to win an 8-day flight to the International Space Station, and they're going to, that flight is going to be in conjunction with the space tourism company Axiom. Axiom, you know, is building its own modules for ISS. And it is paying SpaceX to do in probably January a commercial flight of 4 people to ISS for about a week. And so they are teaming up with Discovery Channel to do this basically a real television show. Now the details are unclear still. They say the series will be 8 parts and will chronicle, quote, a grueling, unquote, process. Each of the contestants will compete for the opportunity through extreme challenge. So it's going to be like one of those silly shows. But the bottom line is the winner will get a flight. And now it's not clear when that flight will happen or when the show will air. It is possible the flight might not take place until Axiom has actually installed its own modules on ISS, predicted now in 24. But either way, this is an example of the demand for the potential demand for flights to space. There's a lot of entertainment money here that could go into this, and there's also a lot of research people who want to go do this, and there's money for that. So lots to happen, John, lots to happen.
And the best advertisement, I can't imagine a better pitch, Bob, than stacking Super Heavy. What is, for space travel, what is Super Heavy?
All right, well, this is SpaceX's Mars, potentially Mars, and Luna Lander rocket, I mentioned it already. They're hoping to build a Saturn V class rocket, upper stage called Starship, lower stage called Super Heavy, that will be able to put at least 100 tons into orbit, comparable to the Saturn V, but be completely reusable. Both stages will come back to Earth and then fly again. And we've talked about repeatedly, they've been doing test flights of a variety of prototypes of Starship down in Boca Chica, Texas. Well, they last week they revealed their flight plan for the first near orbital flight. I called it orbital before, but in a sense it's not really. It's an orbital flight, but rather than go into orbit, they're going to pull back a little bit so that they can control the reentry on that first test flight. So it's going to take off from Boca Chica and circle 3/4 of the globe and land in the Pacific northeast of Hawaii. Well, to do that flight before the end of the year, they've got to get Super Heavy going, the first stage, and they've begun to stack the first full scale prototype. This is actually prototype number 3. The first 2 were assembled and then actually discarded because they had so many upgrades, they put them aside. They're going to change the design. And so the 3rd prototype is now being stacked in Boca Chica. It is not clear when it's going to launch, but this is clearly for that near orbital first Starship flight to space, high flight. And they've said they want to do this. Anytime they have the license, the flight plan calls for anytime between July and December of this year. July is probably impossible, but they're aiming for it. But I think more likely before the end of the year, this flight will happen, John.
And you can watch them stack very slowly, or there's a speeded up version if you watch the video in reflection. You can watch them stack. It is not exactly paint drying, but it's close to that. And it's wonderful because it's a window on the future. What we're watching is the creation of a spaceport. And
a spaceport and a real spaceship, John. A real spaceship, totally reusable.
A century from now, our descendants will look at this video and go, wow, man, they were old-fashioned. And they will they will wonder how we ever survived without the equipment in our heads to communicate instantly around the planet. But that's who we are now. And you're watching something that Bob, it's a joy because it takes you out of the earth, all the problems we have.
Literally.
Watching, well, and there's a sense of humor about it too, because we can't assume everybody's watched this, Bob. The rocket ships that they're building look like a kind of a cheesy science fiction movie. That's what it looks like.
It's really remarkable, because if you go back to the 40s and 50s, the very first rockets and the very first science fiction visions of rockets, that's almost what Starship looks like. And it's really quite amazing. Art imitates life imitates art.
Right.
Well, for many decades, the rocket scientists, rocket engineers have tried to not copy art. And what Elon Musk's SpaceX is doing is going back to the original concepts, and they're coming up with a real spaceship that's going to look like a real spaceship from science fiction in the 50s.
It's not. There is a wonderful movie I recommend to everyone called Forbidden Planet. It's in color. It's not a black and white. It's a Forbidden Planet. And the rocket ship in Forbidden Planet looks like either Starship or Super Heavy, one or the other. However,
I think John, I have to put.
Oh, right, that's a flying saucer.
You're thinking of Destination Space.
I am thinking of Destination Space.
Forbidden Planet has the flying saucers, starships. But either way, yes, Destination Space. It's a wonderful movie from the 50s, and yes, that's exactly what they look like, starships.
We go now to the U.S. Senate. Because right now we care a lot about NASA, because NASA funded what's going on in Boca Chica, Bob. Has the Senate decided to protect NASA?
Well, first, I hate correcting you, John, but no, NASA hasn't funded a dime of what is going on in Boca Chica. We must be clear about this. What's going on in Boca Chica is totally privately funded.
I understand, but all I mean, Bob, is the beginning of commercial space was seeded by NASA. That's the
story. Okay, true, true. But now what has happened is that while SpaceX has obtained private capital to develop Starship, NASA also put out a contract bid for building their first manned lunar lander in their Artemis program. And they awarded the contract to build that lunar lander to SpaceX using Starship, a modified version of Starship that would land on the moon with people in it. And they gave that contract to SpaceX NASA, and that would give SpaceX additional funding for development, but only for the lunar version of it. And it's a variation, therefore it'll help fund build it. Well, you know, the politics are involved, because they were originally going to give out two contracts for this lunar lander. Congress didn't give them enough money to fund two contracts, so they only gave it to SpaceX. And the two other bidders have both protested. This is Blue Origin and a company called Dynetics, saying, no, we should have had a chance to revise our bids, knowing you weren't going to be able to give more than one. Now, whether the protests are won or not, lobbying is going on in the Senate. And the Senate initially put forth an amendment which would require NASA within 30 days to issue another contract to a second company. Well, there's more politics going on in the sausage factory of the swamp of Washington, mixed metaphor, in which they've now amended that authorization bill to say that any second contract awarded cannot change the obligations already committed to by NASA in its Starship contract. So they basically, people in Senate have amended this to protect SpaceX's contract.
Right.
Yeah, this is an authorization bill, which means it's just the Senate's recommendations. It hasn't been passed by the House yet. The House is a different bill. The two sausage factories will have to fit together and make worse sausage.
The short version is the Senate has contributed to protecting the Starship award given by NASA. That's what.
Yes, that is correct.
All right,
that is correct. They are basically telling the world and everyone else in the space industry, including Blue Origin and Dynetics, that you guys might want to fight for your piece of the pie, but SpaceX has got it already, and you can't take it away from them. That's basically
a minor point, Bob. 30 seconds. We don't know whether the Chinese are going to launch their freighter or not, because they don't tell they don't tell you anything about it in real time. They're non-transparent.
That's right. They had a launch of the first cargo, unmanned cargo freighter, to the first module of the space station scheduled, and then they canceled it for unstated technical reasons and have not told us when the launch will occur next.
And we'll figure it out later. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.